Welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. As the midterms approach, the nation is focused on California. Could the controversial Republican Dana Rohrabacher lose his Orange County congressional seat after 30 years? Maybe the closest race in the country. Democratic challenger Harley Ruda is with us tonight. The issue is tech bias. Is the Google search algorithm anti-Trump? The president thinks so. The issue is bail reform. California now set to issue get-out-of-jail-free cards. But some say a new bill isn't all it's cracked up to be. And the issue is the politics of double doubles. Democrats calling for a boycott of SoCal's most beloved burger chain. It's being met with a side of cries. Our panel this week, radio host Larry Elder, feminist and musician Anna Bulbrook, and podcast prankster stuttering John Melendez. The issue is starts right now. And welcome to The Issue Is. Our headlining guest this week is Harley Ruda. He's a tech entrepreneur vying to win California's 48th congressional district. It includes a gorgeous stretch of coastline communities, including Laguna, Newport, Huntington, and Seal Beaches, and the cities of Fountain Valley, Costa Mesa, Aliso Viejo. It's a traditionally Republican area, and for the last 30 years, it has been represented by this man, Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. But lately, controversy over Russia has dogged and threatened Dana, as have changing demographics in the district. Check out this Monmouth University poll. It shows Ruda slightly ahead, 46 to 43. I'm sure you love that poll.
We love that poll.
Harley Ruda, welcome to The Issue Is. You say that Dana Rohrabacher unfit to lead. Why is that?
For lots of reasons. And you touched on one at the very beginning, and that is his connection to Russia. He has had a long affinity for Russia. He's many trips there on taxpayers' dollars. And as I think many people know, received checks from convicted felon Paul Manafort. That's just one issue. His take on telling the National Association of Realtors that his opinion that people shouldn't have to sell their homes to gays and lesbians is another issue that we take much difference on. And obviously the environment. He doesn't even believe in global climate change. And that's certainly a big difference between the two of us.
You know, we had Dana Rohrabacher on the show recently. We asked him about Russia. This was before some of the indictments came out. But this is what he had to say.
Our intelligence agencies, instead of trying to play politics and blame it on and say, this was a collusion between President Trump and then candidate Trump and the Russians, they should find out who did it. And it's very clear that it was someone on the inside.
Do you think that Dana Rohrabacher is an agent of the Russian government?
You know, when you talk spycraft, they talk about spies, they talk about useful assets and useful idiots. And where he may be on that spectrum, time will tell, but I certainly don't think he's a spy. No, but come on, we gotta look at the fact that he went to London, to the Ecuadorian embassy, to meet with the fugitive Julian Assange, to get a thumb drive, to prove 17 U.S. intelligence agencies are wrong. And of course, that's not the case. Why is a member of Congress going to meet with a fugitive in the Ecuadorian embassy? That's not serving America, and that's not serving the people of the 48th District.
You know, Hans Kerstedt, who you ran against in the primary, you beat him by 125 votes. It was the closest race in the country. The Rolling Stone magazine says that he was hacked, and it may have been Russia. Is there any evidence that your campaign was hacked, and what do you make of that?
Well, what's interesting, what I just cited you on, we actually published a letter asking the FBI to investigate Rohrabacher for going to the Ecuadorian embassy. And right after that, Julian Assange calls me out on Twitter and threatens to sue me for libel. So I tweeted back to him. I said, Julian, looking forward to deposing you. When are you coming to the United States? Of course, he's not going to be coming here anytime soon. But because of that, a lot of his followers jumped in on Twitter and said, don't worry, Julian, we'll take him down. And we knew right then and there we really had to beef up our system to make sure we were safe and secure.
You've challenged Dana Rohrabacher to a debate. We invited him to be a part of this conversation tonight. He chose not to. We're appreciative that he came on our show recently. You put out an ad with Jason Alexander talking about debating him. Let's show that.
Tonight's debate is between tech entrepreneur Harley Ruda and incumbent Dana Rohrabacher, who's joining us via secure server from Moscow. Dana, can you hear us?
It's goodbye. If you're not going to let me say anything, it's goodbye.
I'll take that as a nyet.
What's the story behind that?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. We've been trying to get a debate with Rohrabacher since I announced running well over a year ago. won the primary, still won't debate me. He's a scared to. So we decided, well, if he won't debate me, we will create a mock debate and use all of these crazy things he has said over the years, and I'll be the straight guy, and we have a little bit of levity there with Jason Alexander in the middle.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the issues that are affecting people in the district. One of the biggest issues here in California is this gas tax, which is going to be on the ballot. Why do you think the gas tax is a good idea?
Well, the gas tax, the fact that the Rohrabachers of the world are making this an issue, I find incredulous. And here's why. First of all, this is a Sacramento issue. Sacramento passed this bill. This is not a federal bill. Mm-hmm. And if Rohrabacher and the Republicans had done their job regarding infrastructure, heck, we've had infrastructure week every week for 50 weeks under Trump. So if they would have done their job, California wouldn't have had to address this. And my feeling is if Dana Rohrabacher wants to make this an issue, and this is what he wants to run on, then he should resign and run for an assembly seat.
So it sounds like you're not taking a position one way or another. Which way are you going to vote?
Well, I support infrastructure issues. And if taxing gasoline is the right way to go to get there, I'm fine with that. But this is a state issue and among the folks that are electing their assemblymen.
Well, let's talk about some of the federal issues.
Sure.
Medicare for all is something that you support.
Yes.
How do you pay for that?
Well, let me tell you. So first of all, Medicare for all can mean a lot of things for a lot of people. And right now, we're already paying for universal health care in the worst way possible, at the ER instead of preventively. And we have 30 million Americans who do not have insurance. So when they have a medical need, they go into the emergency room. That's why we spend 18.5% of our GDP on health care, twice as much as the other industrialized developed countries in the world. It is the leading cause of personal bankruptcy in the United States and a leading cause of homelessness, which is an issue we have in all of our communities here. So we know what we have doesn't work. So when I talk about Medicare for all, I talk about doing a few easy steps. One, open up Medicare so that individuals or families or businesses can buy into it. Second, reinstate the individual mandate. I'm pretty sure you want to make sure all of your neighbors have fire insurance on their home. It wouldn't be good to have certain homes without insurance. So it's key that if you can afford insurance, you pay for it. And third, take the shackles off Medicare's ability to negotiate big pharma prices. Contrary to Rohrabacher, who's in the pocket of Big Pharma.
Quickly, let's get to a couple other issues.
Sure.
Should ICE be abolished?
No. That's a silly question. That's like if you have a police officer do something wrong, you should abolish the police department. That's not a good idea.
Some Democratic congresspeople have said that President Trump has already put evidence that he should be impeached. Should President Trump be impeached?
We need to wait till Mueller's investigation is complete, just like you would expect any district attorney or prosecutor to complete their case before deciding whether charges should be brought. So let's make sure Mueller has the ability, the support, and the breadth and depth to do the investigation correctly, and then we'll go from there.
If the Democrats win control of the House, should Nancy Pelosi be the Speaker of the House?
I have no idea. I tell you, my goal is to defeat Dana Rohrabacher, and if I'm successful and I am sworn in January of 2019, I will do proper due diligence to figure out who I should support.
Let's talk for a moment about you as an individual, because part of this is also getting to know who you are.
Sure.
You've got a beautiful family. I think we've
got
some photos of them we want to show. What do you do when you're not doing this? What do you like to do for fun?
That was before running for office. But really, the thing I enjoy the most is hanging out with my kids and my wife. We do have a great time. Our kids are all within 5 years of age, so they're really, really close to each other. They're best friends with each other, and that's number one, spending time with them.
That must have been very challenging when they were little.
It was very challenging.
We do something called personal issues on this show.
Okay.
So we got 30 seconds on the clock to learn a little bit more about you and have some fun. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal is pizza.
Favorite song?
The Who, The Song Is Over.
Okay. Favorite type of music?
Rock and roll, and Who is probably at the top.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Both, but I probably lean a little bit towards Star Trek just based on growing up with
it. Good choice. Best thing about being a Californian?
How do you not feel like you are living in the best place in the world every single day?
And speaking of that, favorite Disneyland ride?
This is going to sound really stupid, but it's a small world after all, because it was so much fun with the kids. You're going through this incredible fantasy, and it's a beautiful message.
And the point is that we all can get along, right?
Exactly.
And that's a good way to end, right?
Great.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
I think we've got some music just for you. This is the Who. And I know this is your campaign theme song.
This is a perfect song for announcing victory on November 6th.
All right. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much for joining us. Coming up next, we talk with our panel. With us, we've got Larry Elder, Anna Bulbrook, and Stuttering John Melendez. Stay with us. A look at Hollywood tonight as we listen to some new music from Janet Jackson. That's right. Can you believe it? New music from Janet Jackson. This week's panel of pundits, we've got a great mix of people. Larry Elder is here. He's a television commentator and radio talk show host. You can hear his syndicated Larry Elder Show here in SoCal on AM 870 The Answer. Anna Bulbrook is a politically engaged feminist and an accomplished musician as well. She plays violin as a member of the Los Feliz-based band Airborne Toxic Event and is half of the duo who perform as the Bulls. Also, we've got John Melendez, known for his stints with Howard Stern and Jay Leno. His latest project is host of the Stuttering John podcast. Welcome to you all.
Hey, how
are you? Great to have you here.
Thank you.
All right, this week, President Trump is attacking big tech. He's talking about companies like Facebook, Google, Twitter, saying that they are rigging search results against him. I spoke with Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff about this on Good Day LA. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Any outlet that isn't anything but fawning over him is the subject of Trumpian ire.
So, Larry, do you think that social media, that these tech companies are against Republicans?
I do. I think they're against conservatives. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, admitted that Twitter was left-wing. He says we try not to allow that to affect how we do our business, but he admitted that their culture is left-wing.
Anna, what do you think?
Well, I would say if these tech companies are sort of algorithmically based, then does it even matter what your company culture is? Unless that's baked into your algorithm, which is how information is delivered to you. Does it matter what happens at the water cooler? Does it matter what people talk about in their cubicles? I don't know.
The term is shadow ban, and there's an ability for Twitter to make your followers not see your stuff. And a lot of people are complaining about it, and there are hearings on it. So I think it at least deserves to be investigated. But it's a private company, and if they want to discriminate against conservatives, they have a right to do that.
I think Trump, here's a guy who insults everybody. He, you know, little Marco and all these insults. And this guy is the thinnest orange-skinned man in the world. I mean, because if one person says anything bad about him, he can't take it. And then he lashes out.
John, what? All the stuff that's said bad about him all the time, he's a Nazi, he's a fascist, he's a homophobe. He handles it okay. He gets up and goes to work in the morning. He's all right.
Oh, really? He tweets every second crying about it and whining about it.
As a liberal person with some conservative members in my family, I've had incredible conversations where we get to the end of a long road where at the end sometimes we're like, hey, we actually just really hold different beliefs, and that's the place we've gotten to, and that's okay.
But you know that Donald Trump is very, very thin-skinned. Would you not agree?
I would agree that he has a temper, he has an ego, like all presidents have egos. When you run for president, you're saying to the world,
does he not have
I want to be the most powerful person in the world. You have to be a strange person.
By definition,
they're all strange.
Obama got beaten up a lot, and Obama didn't start name-calling, lashing out, fake news.
You think the media beat up Obama the way they beat up Trump? Are you kidding me?
What do you mean? Trump was out there asking for his birth certificate.
I just want to say that what you guys are talking about is something that every woman...
Yeah, Fox wanted his birth certificate.
But what you guys are talking about is something that every woman and every mother walking down the street with their child experiences all day, every day, from everybody. People opining, commenting, criticizing, attacking, like interfering. I mean, I just feel like it's comical to me that somebody steps into a position of power as a man in this country and doesn't have the thickness of skin of an average mother walking her kid to school.
Who
gets criticized for leaving her kid alone for 2 minutes in a car or, you know what I mean? I'm just like, let's put this in perspective a little bit, guys. If you're going to be the leader of the free world, you need to be able to take it.
Yes.
I think we're going to have to leave it there. It's an interesting conversation. A reminder that this episode and all of our past episodes, including a lengthy interview with Stuttering John, all of that is available as a podcast.
I know where you live.
Just search for The Issue Is. We got to get these guys under control. We're going to be back with more with them, including a debate about cash bail in California, a debate about In-N-Out, and they're going to hug it out in the break. Right?
And we're going to eulogize Senator John McCain.
Yeah, that's coming up a little later.
Guys.
Yeah.
Soft power.
Soft power.
Can I get you guys? I just ordered sushi from Japan.
looking at one of our panelists right there, Anna Bulbrook, with her band Airborne Toxic Event. The panel's having too much fun. We're back with our panel. Larry Elder, Anna,
we're
and
even arguing
John
in a commercial.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the singer of my band
right.
on this panel.
Larry and I are stopping arguing.
Yeah. Big issue this week, bail reform. This week, it's all about the money or lack thereof. Governor Jerry Brown signing a bill that makes California the first state in the country to end the cash bail system. The idea is that the previous system was unfair to poor people. Democratic State Senator Bob Hertzberg co-authored the bill. He talked to me about it on Good Day LA.
Now, Harvey Weinstein could post $1 million and he's out. Somebody else who didn't have $1 million would sit in jail. It's fundamentally unfair.
So, Anna, is cash bail a good idea?
You know, as someone who has actually bailed a friend out of prison, it's a huge pain in the butt. And it's, I mean, we were able to cobble together the money to do it, so we were lucky in that case. However, I think handing the decision to retain someone or not retain someone to an individual who is subject to bias, if we can have no cash bail and no bias, this is a dream scenario, but I think we have
the bias, meaning that now judges are going to have more power in this
system. Judges are going to have an individual voice.
Are you concerned?
I agree with her. I think you moving from one system that's got some problems to another system that also has problems. I'm not sure what the answer is. The real problem is a lot of people who are people of color are committing a lot of crime.
John.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great thing because I think that the rich get away with, you know, they have this unfair advantage.
Are you saying O.J. Simpson got away with murder?
Yes, he did. Double murder.
Double murder.
Double murder. Please don't tell me that you think he was innocent.
Please.
Oh, God, we're not doing that. He's going to move on from that
issue. The man did everything but leave his business card at the crime scene, okay? And he's in Florida right now. Something's wrong.
Let's talk about something happening here in SoCal, which is In-N-Out. The burger boycott, the head of the California Democratic Party urging people not to buy double doubles after the chain gave money to the Republican Party. In-N-Out saying it gives money to both parties. The question is, are you boycotting In-N-Out or is this just stupid, John?
I am not boycotting In-N-Out because I love the hamburgers, as you can tell. But
hamburgers are amazing.
But I did boycott Chick-fil-A because they came out against same-sex marriage. But as far as giving some money to a particular party, I'm not going to ban eating them.
Anna, are you still eating there?
I don't really eat there to begin with. So I've been boycotting In-N-Out since I moved to California 14 years ago.
She doesn't pound down burgers like we do.
I mean, I do eat meat, but I just, I don't know.
Larry?
I recuse myself.
It's outrageous. I've never known the Republican Party to urge a boycott of a business because that business contributed to the Democratic Party. And here you have the chairman of the Democratic Party in California urging people to boycott a private business just because they gave a donation to the other party. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
You know, I can't believe Alex, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Larry.
Well, there we go. We should end right there. Right next, we're going to talk about
this is amazing
bipartisanship.
Yeah, let's go
and more when we come back.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we found a moment of coming together. So if he's watching this, what's your message to President Trump?
Oh, my only message would be resign.
Next week on The Issue Is, an exclusive one-on-one interview with the former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore. No fan of President Trump, but a big fan of the late Republican Senator John McCain. This weekend, Gore attending McCain's memorial service in Washington.
He was a good friend. I had the privilege of working with him on climate legislation as well.
So Bill Clinton's VP pick is going to the service, but John McCain's VP pick is not. Sarah Palin reportedly not invited to the service. And she's not going to be in the audience. Not clear exactly why. So is this a good thing? Yes or no? Should Sarah Palin have been invited to the service, Larry?
I mean, come on. He was his running mate. You at least acknowledge that. I think she should have been invited.
Yes or no?
I think she might be a show stealer. I think it's good to let him have his moment.
Absolutely not. She embarrassed the poor man.
Okay. And around the
He's
table.
He's the one who picked her. He's the one who picked her.
He was
table,
forced to.
What is John McCain's legacy?
You know, the great thing about John McCain, he crossed party lines. Unlike a guy like Mitch McConnell, he didn't choose team over country.
And his legacy.
Bipartisanship and nuance.
Great patriot. I didn't like the fact that he crossed the line and often did business with the other side. I thought McCain-Feingold was a disaster, but he's a patriot and he deserves respect.
Okay, and I don't know if you guys know this, but when I covered him back in 2008, he talked about his favorite band of all time. Any guesses on who it is, this great war hero?
The Beatles.
No, it's ABBA. Seriously.
That's hardcore. That's gangsta.
He loves
ABBA. That is gangsta.
So in honor of the late senator, we're going to bring some ABBA into this.
Let's do it.
And wish everybody
hardcore.
A great night, a great weekend, and thank you all for the spirited debate this week as well.
Thanks,
We'll see you next week.